I want to thank you so much for tuning in today for our weekly show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. We focus here on personal and spiritual growth, on spirituality rather than religion. And we explore ways to actually reclaim the connection and the communication with our own higher selves, with our own inner divinity, and with the power that comes through that connection. Each week I share with you workable, proven methods for experiencing greater peace, greater love, joy, and connection, and how to remove those internal, usually unconscious, obstacles that have actually blocked our connection with that divine source of all life. I believe that it is our God-given birthright to experience inner joy, peace, and unconditional love, to actually feel whole in body, in mind, and in spirit. And if that's what you want, then you're in the right place. And I hope that you and all of your friends join us every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach. And my passion has always been spiritual connection, along with sharing what I've learned in this wild and crazy life I've lived about being happier, healthier, and more at peace inside. And so each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what actually helps, what really matters, so that we can have not only the energy, but the inspiration to begin living in the ways that we've always wanted to live. I know that each and every one of us is a divinely created being. And that divine spark of life, it's alive in each and every one of us. I know that because without it, we wouldn't be living. We would be what we call dead. We wouldn't be breathing, living, walking, talking. And because of that inner spark of life, that God spark, that inner divinity, we have the choice and we also have the power to bring ourselves up. Sometimes we need a little help, but we can rise up out of depression, out of addiction, anger, grief, any suffering that we may have been experiencing. We can come up out of it. I know that because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I really hope that you join me here every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that actually is animating all forms of life, including yours and mine. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain or even do in order to feel that inner peace or happiness. There's really only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of that God energy inside of us. You can call that your higher self, or you can call it great spirit, or unconditional love, or divine energy. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but it really does matter if you call on it. Because that divine power that lives in your heart, and mine, and in everyone else's, that divine power is actually ours as soon as we claim it. And that's really what this show is all about. And so I really want to thank you for listening. And I'd also like to let you know that if you would like some help with getting in touch with that higher self, that inner spirit inside of you, There is a free guided meditation on my website. There's also a whole lot of free information and other tools on my various websites. And you're invited to check those out if you would like to. And it's just my name, Louisa Dyer, LOUISADYER, LouisaDyer.com, LouisaDyer.net, and also TheWowProcess.com. Lots of information on there if you want it. There's also a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. So if you're on Facebook and you'd like to connect, please do so. I'd love to hear any comments you have about what we've had on the show or what you'd like to see on the show. And I've also been inviting people to share their personal transformational stories, aha moments, anything that's happened that has made you come alive or recognize yourself as the divine being that you are, anything that has really turned your life around for the better. I've discovered over the years that when we hear one another's transformational stories, it wakes us up in a way that just reading an article just doesn't do. And so I invite you to share those stories, and that Facebook page or any of those websites is a way to get in touch with me. And let's see if you would like to be on the radio, either by the phone or come in the station if you're in the area. And today we have a really special treat in store. We have an interview today with Karina Andromache, who is a transformational life coach, a teacher, and a writer. And she has traveled a really amazing path to get from where she was to where she is today. She was actually born in Romania and has been in the States for a while. So I'm really looking forward to hearing how she has overcome a lot of challenges and is living the life that she's been wanting to live a long time, and now she's actually doing that. So I'm very excited about that interview. Karina is a transformational coach. She's a teacher, a writer, a poet, and she actually calls herself an archaeologist of the soul, which I think is so cool. But she's going to tell us a little about her story and how she came to be who she is and what she's doing today. And I think that I have Karina on the line. Let me double check that. Are you there, Karina?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Hello. Welcome so much.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, you are most welcome. So tell us a little bit about who you are and why you wanted to tell your story on the radio.
Yes, I would love to share my story on the radio with you and your audience because I believe we learn from each other. We grow by telling our stories and by sharing our stories with others in a hope that we can find strength as we travel and as we go on this journey in life. Mm-hmm. And I love to share my story because I know many people connect, because in a way we all deal with the same issues no matter what our story is or our background. We all deal with feeling lost and empty at times. Mm-hmm. And we all have to start somewhere.
Right.
My story in the physical world began in Romania, although I know I was on the spiritual journey all my life before I knew I'm here. But my conscious journey started 40 years later after the time I was born. So I had many things to sort out as I journeyed unconscious on this earth for 40 years.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're unconscious now.
Not now, but absolutely. But it definitely, there is that moment when we wake up thinking, what am I doing? Like, I need to sort things out. Something is not right. And that pushes us to look. So when I chose to, my soul, my inner world chose to wake up, I was 40 years old and just about finishing my second divorce. And I started to look within. Something is, am I doing something? Why do I feel so much pain? Why am I walking around with this knot in my stomach all the time, right? And then I hired the coach. This is my first thing that I say, I need help. I need to find help alone. I cannot figure it out, so I'm going to get help. So I started to sort out through all my my past, all the things that happened to me, and to understand how they made me who I am and what kind of role they played in my life. Mm-hmm. For instance, the place that I was born in Romania during the communist system and being raised with so much abuse in my life, with a sick mother with MS, and being labeled that I'm not able to learn, that I have some kind of learning disabilities, or all other things from teachers that were very mean back home. If you didn't know something, you're labeled right away as slow or not capable.
So you saying that you were raised in Romania. I'd love to hear how long you were there and how you wound up coming to the States. But it sounds like you're also saying that it was a communist system and you didn't feel like you fit in with that, but that you were also labeled with learning disabilities. And so that when you went to work with a coach, it sounds like you had some misperceptions about who you were and a lot of pain around it, it sounds like.
Absolutely. At that time, was very early, back in 2006, I couldn't make sense of it. I didn't understand that all that prepared me to do what I'm doing now.
Exactly.
The fact that I had to, yes. But at that time, I was just in the beginning, starting to dig, right? That's why I like this analogy, an archaeologist of the soul. I love archaeology, so I paired the two together. So back then, I didn't know. It took me some time to sort things out and put the pieces together to understand that everything that to me was in my benefit in the end, and that was my journey.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely takes time. It takes patience and time and a lot of work to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, when I was young and going through these things, I had no idea that there is a personal life we need to find. There is a place we have to find within. I was totally disconnected from terms like this or ideas like this. Everything there was the world you live in and the things you deal with, and that was it. I had no concept something beyond the physical world or everyday existence.
Well, you know, that makes me very curious then. If you had no concept, really, of something beyond where you were, then how did you reach for it? How did you know to, like, move toward it?
Even though, you know, growing up in a communist country, you know, religion it's not emphasized. Actually, they push it away.
Right.
But somehow, my grandmother used to be a Seventh-day Adventist, so I used to go to church with her at that time. And not knowing what's going on, I just went, and I sat there. So then I was thinking, it must be more than this, even though we just don't develop why people go to church, what she's doing there was not a question for me. I just went to keep her company so she doesn't go alone. But I assumed that the seed was planted somehow, subconsciously, even though I make sense of it consciously at the time.
Uh-huh.
And so
a seed was planted, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. So just to tell you and to make sense of it, later on when I came in this country, I became a Seventh-day Adventist when I was 18 years old. Which was definitely a stepping stone in my path.
Right.
And some 15 years later, when I started to learn about philosophy and other things, and I said, I need to see a bigger picture of the world. So then I left. I left with much pain and struggle, dealing with the guilt of leaving God, as he was put in that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it, and I moved on, and something inside of me told me to seek more. I had to find out more.
Mm-hmm.
I had this hunger to find out more about life.
I think that's one of the reasons that it's so important that we share our stories, because
Absolutely.
What I hear from people is, even when I didn't know there was something more, I knew that I had a hunger inside of me for something more. And that hunger or that desire mm-hmm. propelled me until I discovered consciously that there was something more. But unconsciously, you already knew it because you have that in you already.
Yes, we're just not aware of it. Place inside of us that, mm-hmm. that knows, unknowingly knows, if I make any sense. It takes time to get to that place. And once we're there, things change. As we change the way we look at the world starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes time to journey to that place, to dig within and understand that everything that happens to us is part of who we are. We can integrate all that in who we are, not try to cut parts of ourselves or put on the mask mm-hmm. or hide. It's so painful when we do that. And it's causing so many problems to us, from self-confidence to physical illnesses, literally.
Right.
As I had to go through that, as I denied myself right. for so many years, and at 22, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Wonderful.
And they told me, oh, you're going to have to start taking treatment now because you're going to be crippled in 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And how wrong they were, right? To listen to that.
And what was it that you were going to be crippled from or with?
Rheumatoid arthritis.
Rheumatoid arthritis.
I was diagnosed with that when I was 22. And there was not a prognosis according to the doctors. But I've learned later on that when you internalize emotions, guilt and shame, and it definitely affects your body.
Right.
And all these thoughts of self-loathing, as I used to have towards myself, it started to work against me. That's what arthritis is, autoimmune disorder. It works against your own body, your own self. So basically, in a way, I started my journey finding healing for my body because it was in so much pain that I said, this can't be. I cannot live like this. It has to be from somewhere.
And so I'm curious, did you discover through the pain in your body that there was problems with your thinking and feeling that was creating that, or did you discover the problem with your thinking and feeling, and in dealing with that, you healed your body? Which way were you starting with that, and what did you actually do to change that? Because I'm assuming from the way you're talking that you don't have a problem with rheumatoid arthritis anymore. How did you shift that?
Definitely, I started to read about mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that our mind can create illness. The way we have the perspective we have on things, the way we look at life,
mm-hmm.
the emotions that come from how we internalize our thoughts can create illness.
Yes.
And I started to read Louise Hay, Healing Your Life, and many other works like that that guided me in that direction. And I was so interested in it that I just made it my studies in college. Actually, when I was like 40 years old, even older. I was 43, 42. I went back to college, and I finished my degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a point of studying mind-body connection because I was so interested in that subject. However, when I was in my worst pain, back in when I was 30 years old, I went to a chiropractor. I went to a chiropractor doctor. A chiropractor.
Uh-huh.
So they started to tell me that it's not what happens physically, it's an emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very good chiropractors that told me that.
Mm-hmm. And so did you actually have a very concrete experience of that by watching your own physical illnesses mm-hmm. get better?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they got better and better. However, not until I'm starting to internalize this concept, not as an intellectual level.
Yes.
because that's one thing to take things in at an intellectual level, which is great. We have awareness. But it's another journey to bring them in within our hearts, right? And really experience that.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. I think that's part of what kept me so sick for mm-hmm. as long as I was sick is because I knew everything, but I didn't actually embody it. And so I knew mm-hmm. it, and then I felt guilty and ashamed because I knew it, but I still couldn't live it. So I would love to hear how you made that switch from just knowing something in your mind to actually embodying it so that you knew it in your heart and in your body.
So I started to practice faith. I said, why am I blocking this knowledge? Why is not coming into my heart mm-hmm. this knowledge? And, of course, when you go through so many things in life like you and I did, we have a way of building this wall around our heart, mm-hmm. right? Because we needed this protection. So
yeah.
What we thought is beneficial to us in this situation, it was not.
Right.
Because nothing could come into the heart. Because we didn't let it. This protective wall stayed there for so long. So the work was around to let this wall fall down
mm-hmm.
to the ground. And an amazing thing happened. This was back in 2008. And it was early in my conscious journey, right? Like 2 years into my conscious journey.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was still working in the dental laboratory. I was a dental technician for 20 years in my previous life. And so one day I go to work in the morning, and I'm driving. And I have a short drive, just about 10 minutes from home to work. And all of a sudden, I felt like my arms turned, and my body into a tree trunk. And my arms turn into branches. And I didn't know what to make of it. It just felt so strange that I could feel these changes happening. And as my arms, my branches started to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, I felt like I'm holding the whole world in my arms, branches, per se, right? And at that moment, something happened. Something amazing happened knowing that I can be with everything. I can be with me being in this place. I can deal at this life. At the time, I was, like just 2 years into my journey, so much work had to be done at that time. Something expansive happened. I felt like I can be with everything. I can be with all my past. I can be with my abusive mother. I can be with rape and emotional abuse. I can be with my attempts to end my life. I could be with everything.
Huh.
And somehow this wall of duality was broken. And everything became one. So this is what they call maybe a peak experience.
Right, a peak experience, yeah.
Experience, something that, so that moment made me see that, or feel, I would say, that this mental construct I have don't need to be there.
Wow.
There's something beyond that is beyond me to understand, and I don't have to understand it. I can let go of this needing to know how or why.
Uh-huh.
I was done with that. Why? It was irrelevant at that moment.
Right.
Irrelevant.
I got told that a number of years ago
mm-hmm.
that understanding is highly overrated. Just accept it.
Right. Absolutely. Just accept it. There is no need to know certain things, but and have faith. So experience moments of faith, of something beyond this physical experience, solved a lot of the issues that I was having even with my mom or not able to forgive. There was no need for forgiveness. There was nothing there to harm me anymore. What to forgive in the end?
What a blessing.
Yeah, and I felt like this is the freedom I was looking for, because now when I look back, when I started my journey, I was looking for this peace of mind and freedom. And I was thinking, is this possible? Can we achieve that?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that when you are in that space of feeling complete with everything, that you don't have to question or argue life.
Mm-hmm.
you can be with it and be at peace. Yeah. Because it's not conditioned by what happened or what happened.
Right. So let me see if I understand this. So you're driving in the car, going somewhere, mm-hmm. and you suddenly had an experience of being a tree and mm-hmm. holding everything. And in that moment, you recognized that you didn't have to, like, figure it all out in your mind because you were actually big enough to handle it all. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Absolutely. I felt like I'm one with everything.
One with everything. Uh-huh.
That was my feeling, that I'm one with everything. I am one. I'm connected. This feeling alone or lonely, separated, right? Because this notion of separation that creates pain for us. At that moment, I was not separated. I was part of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing feeling to know that we are never alone. I am not alone.
Right.
I am part of this amazing, amazing universe.
Yes. And have you been able to hold on to that awareness and that sense of oneness, or is it something that comes and goes for you?
No, it's never left me. I've never had that experience after that,
mm-hmm.
but there was enough to open the door for me and not lose that faith and seek ways to explain to others, which is hard to explain, right? Find ways to teach others about this and mm-hmm. actually in my work now, I do talk about interdependence extensively. It's definitely the goal of my work and my vision, my mission to talk about interdependence.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that once we embrace that, we'll cut less trees. I love trees, right? No wonder that I had a tree in my vision. Or we'll be kinder to each other as we embrace this interdependence, that we are all one.
Right.
We are all together. We are not separated. So this was a guiding light in my future journey, in my journey that I am now on.
Mm-hmm.
This big experience.
I love it. When we have those kind of moments, those waking up moments, I mean,
yes.
they're different for everyone, but they're always the same. It's like no matter what the context or the content even, those
yes.
moments where we suddenly get it that, oh, I can see and feel how I am part of everything. And it is that awareness of oneness, I think, that does wake us up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I'm really curious how you wound up coming from Romania to the United States. Was that a decision you made as an adult, or did you come here as a child?
No, that's a decision my parents actually made.
Mm-hmm.
They came here in 1982. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, my mother was sick and still is with MS. And little did they knew back then that they're going to come to America looking for healing for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But here, if you don't have insurance, you can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they came. They came here. So 3 years later, because it took us a long time to get our papers in order, it was very hard to leave Romania
mm-hmm.
During communism. You could not leave the country. So actually, for the 3 years I was there without my parents, I lived with one aunt, and my sister moved in with another aunt. But for those 3 years, I was followed every day by someone. You cannot make a move. You could not make a move back then.
You mean
I was constantly followed around.
Followed around for what purpose?
Because my parents were gone. And once your parents are gone in a Western country, they are considered traitors.
Oh.
So they have to keep an eye on you.
So you walked around for 3 years as a young girl feeling like a... Mm-hmm. Because your parents left the country, you were being called a traitor?
Yes. I am the child of a traitor. Therefore, I'm a traitor, too. So when I was 16 years old, in my first grade in high school, right, I was expelled from school on that base. so I couldn't go to high school.
Because your parents had left the country?
Yes, and they didn't want to accept my sister. Back then, it was the Youth Communist Party. When you are 14, you enter the Youth Communist Party. By default, everybody goes through that. And my sister was not accepted. She was like a year and a half younger than me. She was not accepted because her parents are traitors, right? And I got up and I said some nasty things against the communist system. And based on that, I was expelled from school.
My goodness.
So I couldn't go to school anymore. I couldn't go to high school. I had to quit that. And I went to work in a factory.
And how did you get out of the country then?
Because I left during the communist system. My parents were here. This was the law back then, and still is, I assume, that you have to get a family back together. You have to allow them to leave. That was the international law for the integration of a family. I was a minor, and so was my sister. So they were forced to let us go to unite with our parents here in the United States.
And so you came over here at what age?
I was 18 when I came.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I didn't finish high school back home. I couldn't enter high school here. I was too old for that. So when I came in 85, it was just in the beginning, like in February of 85, I came. And in December of the same year, I got my GED.
So you were obviously already speaking English.
I was speaking some English when I came. Some. Mm-hmm. Enough to move around. Mm-hmm. And so I learned a little bit better in the next few months, and I took my GED. And that says a lot about them labeling me slow and with mental or learning disabilities, right?
Uh-huh.
That's how right they were back home.
You mean when you took your GED here, that was not a problem?
No, there was not. I took my GED the first year I came.
Uh-huh.
So that's to show you we don't have to listen to kids like that. You're slow, you have learning disabilities, you can't do it. Yes, you can do it.
Right.
Right? Who can tell you what you cannot do? Right?
Right. I think that's an important thing because so many of us, you know, I was raised very working class in Appalachia and was told I couldn't do a lot of things that I have since done. And, you know, I was a drug addict for 20 years and was told by a lot of people, once an addict, always an addict. And it's like, no, that's not true. You can do it. You can. If you decide and you do what you have to do, then you can pretty much do what you want to do.
Right.
But it just takes work and it takes commitment and it takes the willingness to do whatever you have to do.
Absolutely. And we all have that power within. To do what we want to do, of course, like you just mentioned, this stage from our background, from our upbringing, come back sometimes.
Right.
And the work is to know how to tame this voice and make it our friend and say, maybe I needed you back then when I was a child to keep safe, to make sure that I'm safe when mother was abusive, or maybe you can relate to your own story in that matter.
Right.
But now, it's a different story.
I'd love to hear more about that. I need to take a little station break here. But when we come back, I would love to hear how you did that, how you actually changed that programming for yourself, because you must have done something very different in order to wake up and have that peak experience. You must have already been doing stuff, and I would love to hear more about how you actually changed your own thinking, because I think that's the toughest thing for most of us to do.
Yes, absolutely.
For all you folks who are just joining us, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM on your dial, and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. I want to thank everybody so much for listening today. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach, and I'm your host here every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern. Our show is Inner Divinity, knowing the source within. And we're focused here on spirituality and on personal growth and on really practical ways to live happier, more peaceful lives, to actually reclaim what I think is our birthright, to have that vitality that comes from living our deepest truth. And my intention always is to inspire you and to help us all really come alive. I just want to thank Conscious Dancer Magazine, who is underwriting my show. Conscious Dancer Magazine and the movement map that they have on their ConsciousDancer.com website is your source for holistic movement. Their tagline is Movement for a Better World. And that website will show you all the wonderful places, wherever you happen to be living, all the places around you to get your body moving. And so the website again is www.consciousdancer.com. I also just want to let people know about underwriting on WAIF. Do you have a business that you would like to underwrite on this radio station? We offer very cost-friendly rates. We can target your underwriting to any show. If you want to call one of our underwriting experts today, you can do that at 513-351-1538 or 513-226-5585 and find out how you can get your business information to our listeners. The cost of underwriting is very affordable, and WAIF, W-A-I-F, will help you reach our community with your message. You'll be helping your business as well as this great radio station, WAIF 88.3, What Radio is Meant to Be. We are here today on WAIF with Corina Andranake, who is a beautiful woman who moved here to the United States from Romania when she was a teenager and has spent her life waking up. And we're hearing about her waking up story and how she not only healed herself in terms of physical illnesses, but emotional and psychological and mental issues as well, and is now actually a life coach teaching other people how to do that. Are you still there with me, Corina?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. So before we hear about how you actually change things around in your own mind, I'd love it if you just told people a little bit about your work, what you do, and how they could get a hold of you if they wanted to.
Absolutely. My website, evolvingyoursoul.com, actually brand new.
Can I say that again? It's evolvingyoursoul.com?
Absolutely, yes. And it's actually brand new. It took me a long time to go with this perspective in my spiritual work. However, I chose this particular niche, I will call it, because I used to be a people pleaser. In my website, you will find out about that I'm inspired to work with people that believe that they are not enough and they want to do so much for others.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the end to feel angry and unappreciated by others. Because on my own journey, trying to fill the gap, the emptiness I felt inside, I never felt good enough about myself, so I tried constantly to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually codependent emotionally on the outer world to tell me who I am. So now I dedicate my work to helping people that feel the same way and let them know that actually, they are very good people, and they are everything they or they're aspiring to be. They just don't believe it.
Right.
So falling in love with ourselves, it's a big deal.
Yes, it is. And so I'm assuming that you have that you call on your own experience of having done that and then help people through what you discovered for yourself.
Absolutely. And just recently, just to mention, I went for a massage last week, and here I am with the massage therapist, and he's a very enlightened soul, and he says, "What's your birthday?" I said, "This is my birthday." He said, "Oh, you're a 9. You're a teacher." He said, "You chose a hard journey for yourself to be here."
Uh-huh.
he knew right away. He said, "I can feel in you. You have power. You have so much to give." And nine, according to the neurological system, the nine personality, they want to teach by example.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood so much better why I was thinking for so long, oh, I don't know enough, I don't know enough, I it's not enough what I know. But actually, deep within, I needed to teach by example, not by what I say.
Right.
So again, we come back to that notion that it's not what you know. It has to be in your heart. You have to live it.
Right.
Right.
Right. We call that walking the talk.
Walking the talk, correct. So I was so relieved to hear that from him that, yeah, I chose this journey, and I'm happy to be here now. And now I understand the steps I had to go through, why it took me so long to be here, because I have to teach by example.
Mm-hmm.
And to walk the integrity, to walk the authenticity,
mm-hmm.
to have my voice opened up, to be myself, to find myself, and live in that place within, not only in my head, and right. speak from my head.
Right.
So my journey, my life purpose was to speak from my heart and live it and teach from my experience to others.
Right. Well, you know, I think that's what all the best teachers do is... Yeah, we teach from our experience. I've often known that was true in my own life, that I've been to hell and back 1,000 times
mm-hmm.
in this life, and I hate it when I'm doing it, but then later when I'm walking somebody else out of that hell, I realize, oh yeah, I went there just so I could walk this person out, because I've been there and back so many times, it doesn't frighten me, there's nothing scary about it. And I can walk anybody out of that place because I've done it so many times. I know there's a way out.
Yes, I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah.
You're so right, Louisa. There is no scary place that I cannot go, whatever the person is in, because I've been there.
That's what I thought you were saying, that you can go wherever somebody is and help them find a way out.
Absolutely, absolutely, and only by my own experience, by my own example, I can teach that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such an empowering, such a place of humbleness to be in that place, yet a place of strength to know that this is your life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other way about it. You've mm-hmm. got to go through this. This is your journey.
Can you talk a little bit specifically, in a way that might help someone else who is listening, what you actually did or how you did it to heal your own physical self as well as your emotional and mental self?
Absolutely. And I remember when I was in college, I went to an independent studies program
mm-hmm.
in Vermont, and it was a beautiful Vermont in September, and I'm up on the hill where the school is. And there was all sorts of talks in school, and we had seminars, and wonderful, wonderful place, very wonderful university. And we talked about Jung one night. And somebody came with, they mentioned the quote that you are not what happens to you, you are what you become.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being on top of the hill thinking about this talk, and I said, oh, my God, all the things that happened to me, they are not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I become. I have the choice, I have the power to make of myself what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an incredible moment being in that beautiful setting, just like now, the leaves were falling in beautiful Vermont, and internalizing that thought. I am not what happened to me. I am seeing that.
Wow.
And then later on, I started to find out about Byron Katie's work.
Byron Katie?
The work. Yeah, the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to say, am I 100% sure that this is true? You know, how that works in her work.
Yes.
And I started to challenge all my beliefs. So literally, I took a pen and paper, and I started to challenge my beliefs.
Yes.
One by one, I am not my parents. I am not what was said about me. I am not this. Then you go into what you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But question everything, and one of the deep questions that I had at that time was, if I didn't think from my background, from the place where I was born, from my parents that I had, if I would have been in a different environment, how much of me is me? So I was kind of obsessed with this question, how much of me is me? And how much was given to me that is not even mine? I'm carrying on with me because I started to take hypnosis courses and I learned about hypnosis and self-life regression and all that. And I'm thinking, how much of what is not me I'm taking with me, right? And I said, perhaps in my cellular memory, it's stuff that doesn't even belong to me. So I need to let it go. I see, I had that vision, I can see a bigger picture. This is not me. This, they don't coincide, all these beliefs, what I see in my vision.
So you really used Byron Katie's work as a jumping off place to begin questioning all of your beliefs. What would you say was the most surprising things that you discovered?
That I can be with everything that happened to me, but they don't have to define me.
Wow.
I can be with them, and they're necessary in my journey. I needed to learn these things through my experience so I can work with other people right now. I understood that so well, but they don't define me.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like they give you tools, but they don't define who you are.
Yes. This whatever happened to us doesn't define. You are not that experience. We are much bigger than that. We are beyond that. And changing the story, and as I started to think about these things, I understood that everything has meaning. Everything is sacred. And being with these two things can keep us either in bondage or give us freedom. It's all in the perspective we choose on something. And the meaning we choose on something. If I choose to look at my experience, mom, is an opportunity to have some patience for her because she was a victim of her circumstance.
Right.
I'm liberated. If I choose to stay angry with my mom and not have compassion, then that's my choice. And I'm going to take the consequences.
Right. So you really are talking about actually taking responsibility and actually giving up that illusion of being a victim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is extremely important that we are not in that victim mode.
Right.
That we transcend that we are not victims at all.
Right.
These are just life happens. Life happens. Like she says, life happens. Why are we going to fight now? Life happens. This is life. Right?
Yeah.
And
well, you know, I'm really curious because I saw on your website, and I want to tell people again that your website is called Evolving Your Soul. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. EvolvingYourSoul.com, the great website, by the way. But I noticed on there that you have studied Psych K and kinesiology, and those are two very important tools in my own life for knowing the truth. Not Psyche. I've studied a lot of other energy psychologies. Not Psyche so much, but I've studied other ones. But kinesiology, especially as David Hawkins talked about it in the Power versus Force series, where he made it understandable that it's not about actually the body telling you the truth. It's the field of consciousness that always knows the truth. And so since I've been able to use kinesiology in that way, of course I've been using it since 1980, but that was one of the most important tools that I've ever had to know the truth. And so I'm really curious to hear, because you've come from a background that was as difficult, if not more so, than my own, and part of the confusion and the fear is how to get out of sort of that early programming. And kinesiology really, really has helped me with that since 1980 to find out what my belief systems were and decide which ones I wanted to keep and which ones I didn't. But even more importantly, in the last decade, to help me know what's true and what isn't true. And so I'd love to hear how you have used the kinesiology or even the psyche or any other energy psychology. How has that been a part of your healing journey?
Absolutely. Psyche had a huge impact in my healing process and questioning my beliefs. And it's a wonderful system, as you know.
Yes.
And I read that book, Stephen Hawking's, about the power, the one that you just mentioned. It was early on that I read that book, Power versus Force, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was an amazing book early on to learn about these things. And definitely, this is an incredible tool because your body doesn't lie. Of course, you tap into a different dimension when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And people should not question how this works.
Right.
It's used in so many ways these days, even by chiropractors, to test illnesses and products that are not good for us, food that we cannot eat and are not good for us. And it's an incredible tool to that gives you an answer right then.
Yes.
You don't have to wait. You go to sleep or you go to the gym about it or something like that. No. Right then you know, this is the belief I have. And this is how I can change these beliefs by balancing the brain left and right and all these tools that are offering this program or many other programs like that, tools like that.
Right. Well, you know, I think you were really blessed and really smart to discover and use a program like that because I see a lot of people who spend 20, 30, 40 years in therapy attempting to do what you can do with kinesiology and with the various energy psychologies. You can do it so fast. It doesn't have to take 20 or 30 years. You can know in the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, how easy that can be that you can know in the moment. You just have to trust.
Mm-hmm.
If you can put to rest that mind, the questioning mind, the mind that doesn't want to believe these things. Because I have clients now that say, no, this is not working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go with more traditional ways or, you know, to writing down your beliefs and go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I see with clients that accept this as a tool, the transformation, it's 100 times faster than if you go the regular way, writing down things and non-stop saying affirmations or anything like that.
Right.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful that I suggest to people to look into it and find a practitioner that is using muscle testing or psyche or any other method that's out there these days. It's incredible and it's powerful and it's instant. And people like that these days. It's instant.
Well, you know, I think what you're speaking to is that if whatever our challenge is, if it wasn't serving us in some way, we would have already let go of it. And so I think a lot of times we get stuck in thinking we need to hold on to that because maybe it still has something for us. And I think that's really the belief behind a lot of bad negative beliefs is that I actually need this negative belief for some reason. And that's what I love about energy psychology and kinesiology in general is, and it sounds like you did this, that you discovered what was beneficial for you and what wasn't, and you were willing to let go what wasn't.
Yes. That willingness it's an absolute necessary step that we look into.
Mm-hmm.
This willingness to let go of the need of something.
Yeah.
And because if there's no need, you let it go. However, I see that change is hard. Not knowing what to replace it with, sometimes people are not ready to let go because there's nothing else to grab onto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think trusting the process when you work with somebody or anybody out there working with either coach or a therapist or anything they do, you have to trust the process.
Right.
And be willing to stay with it.
Right.
Yeah, because nothing works overnight, for sure. It gives you an instant knowing, and it plants the seed for something else, but it takes time to bloom, right?
Yeah.
We need to be in that place of patience and trust that it will work.
I think once you have an experience, a direct experience of of a knowing or of something shifting, then you don't have to trust so much anymore. You have faith because you just had an experience of it.
But not everybody has that when they when they go to see somebody. I didn't have it when I went to see my coach for the first time. Mm-hmm. It was like 3 years later. So at that time, in the beginning, you have to find a place of trust. Mm-hmm. Stay with the process until something shows up that you, yes, this is real. Or I think the conscious mind, the fear in us, needs that place of faith until we have something else that guides us.
Right.
And faith is always necessary and it's there. I'm just saying for the beginning of a journey, when it just starts, and I see that with my clients, maybe they didn't have that experience yet, but they are looking for answers because they are in so much pain that they can't take it anymore.
Right.
Right? Trusting the process. And in coaching school, they tell us about this trusting the process. It's a very, very important step, and this willingness to trust that it will work and put to rest the critic mind, the critical mind that says, no, it's not going to work. Haven't you tried this and this and this? It's not working, remember?
Right.
So I think we have to overcome that and be willing to trust that it will work for us eventually.
Yeah, I think the key word there is willingness, because if we're willing to heal, if we're willing to heal, then we can.
Yes.
And if we're not willing, I don't think anything actually good happens until we can actually consciously express that willingness.
Yes, absolutely. The conscious mind is so powerful, and so is the subconscious mind, and being willing is incredibly important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
and
I'm noticing that we are almost out of time here, and before we, because I still have a couple of questions I want to ask you about your work, but before I forget, what I noticed on your website is that you also make incredibly beautiful jewelry. I had no idea about that. Is that something you've done your whole life, or is that a new thing for you?
You know, it's so interesting how it happens. When you start to dig, to do your archaeological work, you start to uncover parts of yourself that were dormant for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to make jewelry a few years back, about 3 years ago. But I remember back in my childhood, I loved to have collections of stones. I would go out and collect stones. And I loved stones. Not knowing that one day I'm going to make jewelry with it, but I love to collect stones. And in my discovery process, I discovered that I'm a creative person. I love to create. I love to create things. And here's my love for stones and my creativity. So we don't know what comes out unless or until we start digging and bringing out this dormant aspect of ourselves that stay there unattended because we don't believe that they are parts of us, so we just ignore them because we have to deal with this emotional sediment. That's what I'm trying to get to. When we deal with this emotional sediment, we can't get to our core, to our passion, to what makes us unique and different.
Yeah.
So dig into this emotional sediment as we do in archaeologically. Or I do in my work, we don't know what comes out until we deal with this and we dig to this emotional sediment and the pain that we have been through. Then we can discover the gold that is there. That's why it's so important that we consciously begin doing our work because we don't know what's there. Well, in my case, I discover I write poetry, that I like to make jewelry, that I can write. So many things about myself that I had no idea even exist in me.
Oh, that's beautiful. So you did your own emotional, spiritual, mental, psychological healing and discovered that you love creating jewelry and writing poetry. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I think so many of us, everybody has something. I think we are all creative souls. It's so much. Our soul is all creativity, but the mind stays in the way.
Mm-hmm.
all these things that we have been through, that we process and reprocess, and we tell ourselves the same story over and over again. But when we start writing a different script for our life, then the true us, true me, true you, starts to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And shine. And it's so much that is there, and when we need to get there, it's our duty to find this inner core of who we are, because the world needs it, right? If we don't do our work, if we don't bring our best, we're going to be our worst. And
Right. Yeah.
the world doesn't need that. We need our best into the world so we can raise consciousness with who we are and what we can become, because everything is already there.
Right.
Okay, we don't have to go outside to look.
Right.
Everything is already there, as you know it. We just need the patience, the willingness to start digging and bring it out. And
right.
make it usable and make it a gift to the world and to others.
You know, I feel that same obligation. I don't think it's to the world, it's to my own soul. I feel that obligation to be all that I am. And I can't
yes.
do that. Just like you're saying, if I've got all this crap in my way that I can't be that, then I'm not fulfilling my own obligation to my own soul, to God.
Absolutely.
It's like I have
Absolutely.
To do that. Well, and so for this, I just want to say this again. I looked at your jewelry, and it's beautiful. You create incredibly beautiful stuff. And I want
Thank
to make,
you.
I want to make sure that if people go to your website, which is evolvingyoursoul.com, they can find your jewelry off of that website, because I know I found it somewhere else.
If you go to my story about me, then it's a link there to my jewelry website, which is www.terranostrajensenjewels.com.
I'm gonna spell that for people, because it's Terra,
yeah.
T-E-R-R-A, Nostra, N-O-S-T-R-A, Gems, G-E-M-S, and, all spelled out, Jewels, J-E-W-E-L-S. So Terra, Nostra, Gems, and Jewels.com. But I will let you know that if you just go to the EvolvingYourSoul.com website of Karina's, that there is a link to that jewelry website. But it's gorgeous stuff. I really enjoyed looking at it, and I knew there must be some correlation between you waking up and creating jewelry, and I'm so glad you told us a little bit about that.
Thank you. I'm glad to share. It's definitely it's therapeutic. It's beautiful to just sit there and work with the stones, knowing that this is Earth.
Yeah.
This is Earth, and knowing that everything is sacred, right? Every move we make, we can make it everything. We can make everything a sacred experience.
Yeah.
Because
it is. Life is a sacred experience.
Life is a sacred, and we should not take it for granted. And wake up every day and be grateful that we are here. And like I am now, that I can connect with you and your audience. And it's such a pleasure to be here and share with others, because the world needs all of us,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We are a collective puzzle.
Yeah. I often tell people there's only one you. And so you have to be the best you can be. You have to be all of you. Because if you're not, then the world is missing that. Because nobody else can do it.
Nobody else can do it.
Right.
Only do what you can do. And it's only one Louisa and one Karina and one of each of us.
Yeah.
And we all have our special place in this universal puzzle. And we must embrace it.
Yes, yes.
And do our work.
And amazingly wonderful things happen when we do.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's worth taking the journey.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to this cave, this unknown cave of self-discovery, and we don't know what we're going to find there. But in the end, it's something that you don't even know when you start.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's hard to even express it in words where it takes you once you're there, this place of being at peace.
Yeah.
Can't put a price tag on that. You can't. Peace within yourself that I'm all right, no matter what. You know, when we can be with uncertainty and live life from that place, then we are free. Because life will bring all sorts of things. We can't avoid that.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there is no price that can be put on that inner peace and feeling free.
Absolutely. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Karina, I want to thank you so very much. I've enjoyed talking with you so much today and looking at your website. And I just want to say congratulations, because like so many of us who have come from a really, really painful past, I'm really grateful every time I hear about somebody who woke up and said, you know what, I don't have to live there anymore. I get to create a new way to live. And I'm just so grateful that you've done that and that we've gotten to connect.
Yes, I am too. I'm so grateful, and Facebook has done wonders for me. I've met so many wonderful people. I can't even tell you, as I met you. This space, I know, no matter what people do and how they use it, in my world, I connected with wonderful souls that I would have never known without this opportunity.
Right, right.
And I'm so grateful that we have this medium, this space.
Yeah.
Where we can connect with each other in a sacred way.
Yeah.
And be there for each other and speak our hearts and minds and be supportive to each other as we go through this journey in life.
Yep.
Community is very important.
Yeah.
And
I agree. Well, thank you again so much. I'm going to need to close out here. I just wanted to thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll definitely stay in touch. I love everything you put on Facebook, so I'm sure we'll stay in touch that way. And if you are ever in the Cincinnati area, we didn't even tell people where you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am in Chicago.
Okay. I thought, suburbs of Chicago.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure that we said that Karina is in Chicago. If you're ever in the Cincinnati area, you absolutely must look me up, okay?
I will. I promise. Thank you so much. I am... so pleased to be here with you and with your audience, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you, honey. You have a great day.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So wasn't that just amazing? I am always so astonished when I hear people who have come from these really frightening, sometimes certainly painful backgrounds, and then they wake up and suddenly life is full of wonderful things, and the body heals and the mind heals. And I just really want everybody to hear that it's always possible. Every moment there's a new choice that's possible. You are listening to Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. We're on every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach. And our show every week is about really tapping into that divine source of life that is inside each and every one of us. And so I want to thank you so much for listening. We're almost out of time today. We had a wonderful interview with Karina Andramache, a beautiful woman from Romania originally, who moved here to the United States and has healed her life in a lot of ways and is now helping other people heal theirs. That was a very wonderful talk. I hope you got to hear some of that. And I hope you join me every week. We're listening to people's personal stories of transformation. You can get in touch with me through the Facebook page for this show, which is the same name as the show on Facebook, Inner, I-N-N-E-R, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, to hear about aha moments, about where you've come on your spiritual journey, anything that has been a turning point in your life and really helped you wake up to the truth and maybe even to the glory of who that you are. This show every week is really about inspiring each and every one of us to live happier, healthier, more joyful, and more peaceful lives. I know that we can come up and bring ourselves up. Sometimes we need a little help because we all need help from time to time. But it doesn't matter what kind of suffering. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you are. It only matters where you want to go and what you decide you want for your life. I have come up out of so much illness, so much depression, addiction, despair, grief, and have watched countless other people do it too. And because of that, I know that anybody who decides to can rise up out of whatever that misery is that you've been living in, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, and you can live a happier, healthier life. And so every week on this show, that's what I'm doing here, is giving you really practical, everyday kind of ways that anybody, almost anybody, can do that. And sometimes we're going to hear how other people have done that, because when we hear other people's stories, I think it gives us hope that, well, you know, if they did it, then maybe I could do it too. And that's the truth of it. You can, I can, we all can. And so I really hope that you join me here every Wednesday, 1 to 3 p.m., right here on 88.3 FM on your dial, and online live streaming at WAIF883.org. And let us know what you want to hear on the program. Let us know what you like. Get in touch with me and let's find out if you would like to share a story. I want to close out with more music by Gabrielle Roth. This is in honor of her life. This is in honor of everything that she has done and been for those of us who love her music. She left this world yesterday, or maybe it was the day before. And I just really want to honor her. And so I am going to close out today with The Calling, which is my favorite cut, I think, ever on any of her CDs. This happens to be from Bones, which was put out in 1989. Gabrielle Roth, the queen of dance, in my opinion. This is to keep you moving on into your journey, wherever it takes you. And I will see everybody back here next week. I hope you enjoy the music. Bye-bye.